We're in the book of Job, and we are working our way up to Job chapter 4. We've got a little bit to finish at the end of chapter 3 here. So as we continue our study there, last time we stopped at an unusual place. It was a very sad time in chapter 3 where Job was cursing the day that he was born. So that's right where we're going to jump back in. So you might want to buckle up and hold on tight. These are some rough passages, guys, to go through emotionally. And they're intended to do that because the Lord's trying to get some stuff through us here. So hang in there as we get started here. If you're looking at Job chapter 3, if you want to follow along with us, we're in Job chapter 3, and we're going to jump in at verse 20. So it says, "Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoices exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave?" Wow, some kind of morbid thoughts to start with, huh? But this is where the Lord has us in our passage here. So think about this. Job is saying here, why am I not dead yet? I want to find death as badly as someone who's desperately searching for hidden treasures. And I will rejoice exceedingly and be glad, he says, when I can finally be laid in my grave. Wow, very morbid thoughts. You know, I told you to buckle up and hold on, right? But remember how badly Job is suffering physically at this point. He has boils covering his entire body. Wow, you know, we have pains, and I've never had a pain like this, and I'm very thankful it's not, you know, and had something to envelop our entire body. Wow, I pray you guys never have to experience this depth of pain. But remember, too, that the book of Job, it's part of Hebrew poetry in the scriptures, so let's take advantage of that and pull out some of the details that it tells us right here. In verse 20, we're told that Job is in misery, and his soul is bitter. And that's a deep pain he's talking about. In verse 21, it says Job is longing for death, and he is searching for death hard, and he can't wait for death to come. And this being said by a man who would never disrespect God by considering suicide. He was just sincerely hoping that God would bring him death soon. But he doesn't know the future plans that God has for his life on this earth, that his life is going to help people all the way up to our present time in 2021. So we learn from this to never give up, even when we can't see anything in our future but darkness. That's where Job was at this point. Only God knows, though, what is beyond the darkness that we can't see past. So never give up. We said this last time. If you really want to give up on something, then surrender. But surrender to the Lord. Give your life to Him. And then just see what He can do with your life. In verse 23, it goes on. "Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in?" So the picture here, you know, why would you give a flashlight to somebody who has no idea where he's going? And even if the flashlight lights the way ahead, you know, he can't see anything, any direction to go. And he knows that God is in control, but it's like the Lord has closed him in with nowhere to go, anywhere. And this is a very poetic way of saying, I don't see any future for myself. So why am I still alive? You know, as far as Job knew here, God doesn't have anything for him in the future either. So Job doesn't see any way out of his suffering and pain that he's in right now. So he wonders, why am I alive, Lord? Why aren't you just taking my life? Now, we could say this at almost every step through the book of Job here, but have you ever been there? Have you ever thought that there's nothing left for you in the future and that God is done with you? So you wonder, why are you still here on this earth? Yeah, we can relate to those thoughts and feelings, can't we? Let's go on to verse 24. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. Did you ever hear someone sigh out of frustration? You know, just, you can feel there something going on inside a person when they do that. You know, it's like Job here. He talks about food. He's looking at the food that's right in front of him to eat, and he knows to eat that food, it's going to give him life. But he's sighing out of frustration because he wants death, not life. But he must eat. You know, he can't starve himself to death. He can't do that. He's not going to do that to the Lord. And did you ever hear someone groan, you know, over and over again because of their pain? Job's pain would not allow him to stop groaning. You know, I remember, and I've told you some of this before, but there was time back when I was getting all those kidney stones, and one time Lisa was taking me to the hospital. I was in pain with these things, and we got up to the hospital door, the ER, and I put my hand in the door to open. I just stopped and looked at her. I said, you know, it's feeling better right now. Why don't we just go back home? And she immediately said, no, we're not going through this. She said, that we're not going to have you in the ER screaming for Jesus like you did last time. So, no, we're going in and get this taken care of. But, guys, if you've heard someone groaning in pain and they just keep groaning and groaning, it's pitiful. You know, we've been in the hospital before and heard people that are going through really difficult times and hear the groans coming from the room. And Job is at this point where the groaning just, he can't stop groaning. The pain is pretty intense. So verse 25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. False teachers, the name it, claim it bunch, they like to use this verse to say that Job suffered here, and here's the reason why. Because he had fear in his life. And this fear meant that Job had a lack of faith. That is such utter nonsense to especially say that about someone like Job, of all people. You know, chapter 1, verse 22 says that Job did not sin even after he lost everything. And in chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord said the devil incited him to destroy Job without cause. So Job hadn't done anything to cause these things, and Job didn't know why at this time these things are going on. But you know, we know why these things happen because we can read about it in chapters 1 and chapter 2. It was the devil who caused these things, you know, not Job. He didn't bring this on himself. So they try to promote this fear of Job that's inside of him to be the reason for Job's troubles. That's just twisting scriptures, guys, so they can sell more books and DVDs. Shame on them. And the solution is not falling for this false teaching. The solution to that is to be like a Berean and read the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are so. That's what the Bereans did to Paul, and he said he was glad they did it. And guys, this is what can help us to have good discernment to say, wait, that's not what the scriptures teach. The Bible tells us something completely different from what you're trying to push on me here. So the scriptures are good for that, guys, to prevent us from falling for things. And you know, the first two chapters of Job, they prove that these false teachers are liars and deceivers. Now let's deal with one more aspect of faith versus fear. Fear, is it the opposite of faith? No. The opposite of faith is doubt or lack of faith. You know, unfortunately, looking back, I think that I probably said that fear is the opposite of faith myself. And I was wrong in doing that. So I apologize. And I've heard that concept so many times, you know, that fear is the opposite of faith. That if I slip and say something like that again, please bring it to my attention, okay? And then I'll have to apologize for it again, because that's not a good thing to promote. Fear is a normal thing in our life, and it happens. It is not the opposite of faith. Okay, and we'll see these things as we get in here, because Job was a man of faith. Did he have fear? Yes, he did. Still a man of faith? Absolutely, okay? So if that's the case, then what is this verse talking about? All right? It says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." Well, remember that Job was the greatest of all the people of the East. Scripture told us that in chapter 1, right? He had more going for him than anyone else could imagine or even hope for in the entire area where he lived. He had a great family, great wealth, and a great many servants. But even though Job was the greatest man there, he knew that it could all be gone in a moment. He knew how shaky and unstable things are in this world. So he realized that all these things could be taken away from him. And that's what he's talking about here. And you know, we've seen things like this in our own lifetime. People losing fortunes, right? You know, people thought, if I just win the lottery, then I won't have another trouble in the world. But then they experienced, you know, after they won the lottery, they experienced a whole new, darker world that they weren't expecting. All of a sudden, friends and relatives are coming out of the woodwork because they all want a piece of the action. Charities start hitting them up like crazy. And then, who do you trust to manage your new fortune and hope that they treat you honestly? And what if you blow it all in an unbelievable hurry because you didn't know how to control that kind of money, you know, that huge amount that just got dumped on you there? And then it hits you one day, and all of a sudden you realize that you used to have maybe, you know, a couple thousand worries, maybe, but now you have a few million worries. So your stress level has gone through the roof, and now you can hardly sleep at night because you can't stop worrying about who might be trying to steal your money tomorrow. Did you know that there's even a pretty well-known group of people in our country here that have an extremely hard time of not going broke, even though they make a huge salary? I'm talking about the new guys that just made it big time in professional sports, baseball, football, basketball, whatever. And did you know that it is so bad, these guys going broke and getting a serious debt, even within their first year that they started doing this quite a while back, they started having classes for these new guys to learn how to manage their money. Because a lot of these guys, they never had any real money before. Some came from rather poor backgrounds, so they never had any money to really manage. So now they think that they have unlimited funds at their disposal. But a lot of them found out the hard way that you can have a party and you can party away this stuff, a huge amount of money, in a fairly short time. So the sports team owners, they had a solution here that we're going to have to get some money managing classes for these guys, and we're going to find some good accountants to help them out. So the point is, being rich isn't all it's cracked up to be, and it can all be gone in an instant, in a moment. And we've seen some other horrible tragedies in our own country here recently, haven't we? Look how many people lost their pensions back in 2008, 2009 time period. And how many lost their jobs due to an unforeseen pandemic that was heading our way. The Lord warned us about all this dependence on money. Take a look for a second at Proverbs chapter 23. There's a couple of passages here I want us to see. We maybe haven't seen them in a while. Maybe you've come across them, but it's a very good reminder for us. So Proverbs 23, if you look down to verse 5, it says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." So they can be gone very quickly. And in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, very familiar passage to us. We've gone here a number of times. 1 John chapter 2, and if you look down to verse 15, and we get here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away." So all of this stuff, the wealth, everything, it's passing away. And the lust of it, it says here. "But he who does the will of God abides forever." So our relationship with God is the most important thing that we have, not only in this world, but also in eternity. So don't ever forget, you want to hold on to the things, as the scriptures say, that cannot be shaken. That's our relationship with the Lord. Make that the priority, the most valuable thing in your life, because it is. Now, back in Job chapter 3, still verse 26, here's Job. He says, "I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." So these are some of the most profound words that you will find in the book of Job, if you meditate on them for a while, because these words were spoken by a man of great faith. "I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." So don't forget what the Lord said about Job two different times. He said, Job is God's servant. There's no one else like him on the earth. He's a blameless and he's upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. That describes a great man of faith. So here we have a great man of faith who speaks the words here of verses 25 and verse 26, right? So what do we make of that? Well, it shows us that even though we may have great faith in God, that there are times in this world when circumstances can bring us very low. And this allows us to honestly admit that we're in a horrible spot in our life, but we still have faith in God. That faith has not been lost due to bad circumstances. And guys, when we have things that are going on in our life, it's okay for you to come and say, "Man, I'm really having a hard time. Please pray for me." It's okay to tell us that. We know you go through crushing times. We all do. We know that you're a sinner because we're a sinner too. So please don't hold back any prayer requests you have. Don't think to yourself, "Well, I can't let people know I'm this low, or I'm hurting this bad, or I've even messed myself up and sinned so bad." Don't hold that stuff back. Don't be afraid to say that, because guys, we're all sinners. We've all done very disappointing things in our life. We've all been brought to very low places. But guys, we can pray for one another because we love each other. We pray for each other that way. God loves us. We can bring it to the Lord. And if you need to, man, bring it to a friend. Bring it to a brother in Christ, sister in Christ. We can pray with you. Guys, we got great prayer warriors in our church. I encourage you to take advantage of that. So guys, let's ask some questions here. Were there ever bad things that happened to you? But did they shatter your faith? Probably not, because you're still here listening to a teaching from God's Word. Were there things in your life that ever caused you to be afraid? But did they shatter your faith? Probably not, for the same reason I just mentioned. Has anyone ever said to you, "With all the bad things that have happened in your life, why aren't you extremely bad at God?" But you're probably thinking at that very moment when they told you that, said, "Huh, I never even thought about that," you know. That's because things that go bad and things that go wrong in our life as a believer, they usually cause us to run to the Lord, you know, not shake our fist at him in anger. And even when we might happen to pull away for a while, we always come back. We love our Lord and we long for our Lord. We don't want to be apart from him. Guys, let's jump in and start in chapter 4 here, because this story goes on. And it's painful to go through, but we need this guy. We're going to see that as we get in here. So chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite, this is one of Job's, quote, friends that showed up. He answered and he said this here, okay? So as we get in chapter 4, we're going to see Job's friends starting to speak up. Remember, they were quiet for 7 days, 7 nights. And for many chapters now, going forward, I mean many chapters, they're going to push the idea that God always blesses the righteous with happy times. And God always punishes the wicked with hard times. So you can see where they're going with this. If you're having happy times, you must be doing things right with God. If you're having hard times, you must be doing something with the wicked. Okay? So the conclusion these friends come to is that Job must have sinned somehow. They don't see it. They don't know what it is, but they're pretty sure Job does. And that's why he's having such hard times, because he sinned. So this is obviously wrong thinking that they're doing. But to get ready to deal with these issues, because we're going to see it for a number of chapters here in Job, just to prepare yourselves, guys. Then let's start out by seeing how Jesus put the lid on this bad teaching, okay? It was clearly going on in the world at the time that Jesus said these words, but it's good for us to take this at heart and bury it inside of us to keep this in mind as we go through Job. I want you to look at John chapter 9 for a second here. John chapter 9 in the New Testament here. And I'll read this to you if you'd like. But it's a pretty important passage when it comes to Job, because thank the Lord, Jesus put it as clear as possible here. John chapter 9, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Wow, they're going to get a straight answer on this. We know we got the Messiah right here. We're going to ask him his questions. Whose sin caused this? Why do you want to know, guys? We want to know so we know who to blame and who we can point a finger at and say, man, look what you did, you know? Oh, my goodness. So they're asking this question so they can get this answer under their counseling belt, okay? And verse 3, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But wait a minute, Jesus, we thought that that's why people are having such hard times, because they're doing evil stuff, right? Always God blesses the good folks, but he gives evil, he has hard times for the evil folks, right? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. That is not the cause of why this guy was born blind. We needed that answer, Jesus. Thank you. He goes on to say, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Oh my goodness. You mean sometimes God's allowing things to happen in people's lives that are rough, that are hard, that are disappointing, that are discouraging, because God wants to do some other work that's not being clearly seen yet? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And Jesus said it very clearly there, and now we're going to see in Job, it's spread out over a number of pages, but we get the same teaching here. So Jesus was saying, when they asked the question, who sinned and caused this to happen? He said very clearly, no one. Okay? So let's keep that in mind as we continue through the book of Job. Job chapter 4, and back to verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? And he's looking at Job, knowing he's suffering and going through hard times. And he's saying, I want to talk to you, because I think I got something to say I need to tell you. But are you too tired to hear this? You know, and he doesn't give Job a chance to answer. He says, but who can withhold himself from speaking? Well, obviously, Eliphaz, you can't, because you're going to talk here, right? So verse 3, he says, surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, going through hard times, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. And that's people that are really hurting. So we see some good things about Job's life here and his testimony. He's helped people that really needed help, okay? When they were going through tough times and Job was able to help them, do whatever he could to help them, we're told that he did that. He instructed them. He strengthened them. He did all he could to help these people through very difficult times, all right? It would have been good for comfort if he just would have stopped there, but no, this guy's got to go on. Verse 5, but now, man, you see that start out with, but now. Uh-oh, we got a backhanded compliment coming here, right? But now, it comes upon you, these tough times, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your reverence, your walk with the Lord, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways, your hope? Wow. So, backhanded compliment here. Even though you've helped others who were hurting, he's saying, how come you're taking it so hard when trouble comes your way? Huh. And then he goes on, basically says, where's your spiritual strength now? Come on, Job, you're such an awesome guy here. Where's your spiritual strength now? Ouch. You know, thanks for that jab, man. Wow. It's verse 7. He goes on, remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity, they sow that stuff, and they sow trouble and reap the same. Obviously, they sow iniquity. They're going to have a rough life. They're going to reap that stuff. It says, by the blast of God, they perish. But by the breath of his anger, they are consumed. So Eliphaz was implying that Job, he must not be innocent or upright. So in his thinking, Job must have sinned, and that's why God was obviously angry with Job. But none of that was true, right? We read chapters 1 and chapters 2. Did you get any hint at all that God was upset with Job? Nope, not at all. And the sad thing is that these kind of thoughts are still floating around today, you know, and we might be guilty of thinking this way too. Ooh, and that's the big point of Job, that we have to examine our own heart and look at our own heart, our own sinful heart, guys. Wow, we don't like to do that. So we might do that too, to wrongly think that if somebody is suffering, then they must have sinned. I mean, somehow, they must have done something wrong, and that's why they're going through such a hard time in their life. And as believers, you know, we think these things about ourselves anyway. When we're going through a time of suffering, we once crossed through our mind, it's like, man, did I do something? Is that why this has happened to me? And start examining ourselves. So we don't really need any of Job's friends to come along and rub it in our face, do we? So we get some very hard lessons here. First of all, the Lord wants us to be very sensitive in dealing with people who are suffering. He does not want anyone to treat people like Job's friends treated Job. Secondly, this must be something that is so ingrained in us that the Lord repeats this lesson over and over and over again for over the next 25 chapters just to get us to learn this hard lesson. Do not judge people who are suffering. They need compassion, not judgment. And thirdly, don't miss the fact that these friends did not have chapters 1 and 2. So they had no concept at all about why the suffering had come upon Job. They didn't have the real answer, that it was Satan. But these guys were oblivious to that fact, even though they thought they could come up with the right answer of why Job was suffering. We know enough to know this is why. Guys, don't kid ourselves. We don't know everything. We surely don't know why God does everything. And for us to think we can pull this out of our hat and say we have the solid answer on this, we better tread very, very lightly. As we can see from our passage here, God doesn't take this lightly himself when people pull this stunt, okay? Come down to verse 10. The roaring of the lion very powerful animal. The voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey. He runs out of food, he dies. And the cubs of the lioness, they're scattered. She can't feed them, they take off. They just have the instinct, God, I gotta find food somewhere. So these guys are saying that these things can even be seen in the animal kingdom. That's what Eliphaz is trying to get across. And he also seems to be implying that even the mighty lions are brought low by God. So if God can humble the mighty lion, then he can humble Job. Wow, again, no encouragement or comfort, only judgment. Thank you guys, huh? So verse 12. Now, you gotta catch Eliphaz going into this mystical mode here, okay? Listen for the very smooth music coming in the background. Now, a word, he says, was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying. So Eliphaz is claiming here that he received a secret word from the Lord. Wow, this is another time to get ready to brace your heart if someone comes at you with this type of message, okay? I call these super spiritual people who have this super spiritual pride that says, God told me to put you in your place. Your knowledge of the scripture can help you through a time like this, but it's still painful to go through. You know, your knowledge of the scriptures will give you discernment when you come across these kind of people. But the lessons for us again is, do not treat people this way, looking down on them spiritually and wanting to put them in their place. The Lord tells us that we need to be careful about judging people. They're his servants, you know. He's very capable of judging his servants himself. And he says that in the New Testament. Don't judge his servants. He can handle it, okay? Verse 17 goes on. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? This is still part of his vision he got, okay? Supposedly from the Lord. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? So he's accusing Job of having pride in him, implying that this is why God is coming against Job with the sickness, because Job thinks he's so righteous and he's more pure, you know? He's coming, he's bringing this against God. Oh my goodness. Verse 18, he says, if he puts no trust in his servants, talking about God, if he doesn't put any trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundations is the dust, who are crushed before a moth? You know, so he goes on in verse 20, they are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. I mean, who pays any attention to this? Does not their own excellence go away? They die, even without wisdom. So he is saying that God is going to bring Job to down to nothing. And he's saying it straight to Job. God's going to bring you down to nothing. Your excellence is going to go away. You're going to die even without wisdom. Okay? What a horrible thing to say to somebody who's in great pain. Now, one thing about what he said back in verse 7, about the innocent perishing and the upright being cut off. He's saying, we never see these things. Think about this, guys. This is where our understanding of Scripture really helps. Jesus was the most innocent one and the most upright one that ever lived, right? And he did perish, and he was cut off. And there have been Christians who have been persecuted and tortured and killed despite the fact that they had done no crime in the eyes of the Lord. So Christian history as well as our own Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, have proven that statement false over and over again, that the innocent, they're not going to go through these hard times. Okay, guys, we could jump into chapter 5, but I think we're going to stop at this point due to our time. So we saw one guy here, Eliphaz. He's not done yet. He's just getting started. Chapter 5, he's got another steamroller. He wants to take over Job. But here's Job. Guy's hurting. Been through a rough time. Questioning in his own mind, I'm sure, have I done something to cause this? Or why is the Lord allowing this to happen? But we know Job feels so horrible, he's ready to die. He's just wishing he could find death. Guys, there are people who go through really rough times in life. They go through situations where they have illness, they have disease come on them. They maybe have had something horrible happen in their life. And guys, the Lord is able to take those kind of things and he's able to carry us through them. He's able to bring us through the other side and use us with the comfort that he gave us to comfort others. So if you're in one of those places, don't give up, guys. Don't throw in the towel. You may be wishing for death, and it's understandable. We go through the tough times. But guys, we serve an amazing God. We always want to say, Lord, your will be done. So we're going to pray about that in a second, guys. But if there's somebody watching somewhere, as they see this video either now or through the week, and they don't know Jesus yet, they're not sure if when they die they're going to go to heaven, let me say a few words of encouragement to you, okay? God doesn't want anybody to perish. He says that very clearly in his word more than once. And that means you. You're included in that. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to perish without Christ. He wants you to know Jesus. And he said, Jesus himself said, if you know me and you die, you're not really dying. You're just going to go on another place. You're going to be with the Lord. So if you don't know Jesus today, he loves you so much. He went to the cross for you, paid for your sins completely. And God, the Father, raised him from the dead to prove that he accepted that sacrifice on your behalf. So if you don't know Jesus today, I want you to know he already paid for your sins. You just need to believe that's true. Trust God. Trust Jesus that he said that. And you can get the Bible and start reading the Gospel of John and learn how to become a follower of Christ. It's a great place to start, and the Lord loves you. Guys, we're going to stop, and I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to go to worship. Pray for each other. You know, we've got people that are hurting and going through difficult times. We're all kind of suffering through this pandemic, right? So let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We're so grateful, Father, for the time you give us to get into your word. Lord, I pray that your word spoke to us today. And Lord, I ask you to help us to come back and go through these difficult teachings, because we need them, Lord. We need you to strengthen us. We need you to straighten our life out. And if we have this in our life, this criticism of and judgment against people, Lord, please help us to get rid of that as we go through this study. And we thank you, Father, you're so patient with us. Father, for anybody who's hurting right now, please comfort them, help them, strengthen them through this time. If anybody doesn't know Jesus, please open their heart to see the truth. And Father, we thank you that you can teach them that. Help them to be humble and receive that truth from you. So Father, we want to give back to you all the praise, honor, and glory for all these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.